Welcome back to Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and on today's show, we're asking, what are the odds? This is a story about one of those turning points, a moment when a totally freak occurrence appears and changes lives forever. The setting is the Washington coast, the time is the late 70s, and the characters are a group of Catholic nuns. Sound Effect contributor Ryan McDonald picks up the story from there.
Rosemary Thielman and Roberta LaManna are both now in their 70s. They have been nuns their entire adult lives. Today they're at their kitchen table in their home in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where they've lived together for the last 27 years.
I like that picture of all three of us with our broken legs.
Sprawled out in front of them is their accident album, a scrapbook filled with photos and newspaper articles and lots of memories. Yeah.
Local nuns injured at Ocean Beach. Two former Immaculate Conception school teachers and another one from Everett were injured.
But it's this moment that happened 40 years ago that shaped their friendship and connected them in ways that would only be understood with the breadth of time and laughter. Lots of laughter.
Yeah. Do I have to do this again to get skinny again? It was my automatic diet.
In April of 1977, Rosemary, Roberta, and three of their friends, Shirley, Peggy, and Joe Cerie, took a week-long vacation to Grayland Beach State Park. All five nuns crammed into a tiny camping trailer that they parked right next to the beach.
The last day, and we were going to go down to the beach for the last time, the sun was out. And it was a beautiful day. Absolutely gorgeous day, but freezing cold. So we, packed everything up and walked down to the beach. And during the week, there hadn't been any logs on the beach at all. And when we got down there, there was one log. So we were all standing on the log and we were, giving thanks for the nice week, even though it rained all week.
And at that point, the water started coming in. And it wasn't like a tsunami where you'd go, oh, I've got to get out of here. It was just water from the ocean that just kept coming, like the whole ocean decided to come right in our direction.
We were about a block or so from the water. We were quite a distance from the water. All of a sudden, you could just see the water rising. I didn't want to get my shoes wet. Another sister, Peggy, and I, and Rosemary jumped off the log and started running up the beach a bit, up to the sand dunes. When I turned around and looked at Shirley and the other sister, Jo Cerie, who were on the log, they were thrown up in the air and then came crashing down. Peggy and I were way up in the sand dunes, and I was wet way up to my waist. Rosemary started to go back down to help Shirley because a log had come and pinned her leg down.
So she called out in a kind of firm but rather desperate voice, "If another wave comes in, I will drown." So I stopped running up to the sand dunes where I was going to join the others. When I heard Shirley call out, I thought, I'd better try to go help. And I don't know if I was motivated by love or by guilt. I knew I didn't want to spend the rest of my life feeling guilty that I didn't try to do something. At that point, I looked up in front of me, and there was a huge log coming in on a wave. And I remember thinking, I could jump over that. Whatever log hit me, it whacked me down into the sand. And my face felt like it was 40 feet down in the sand. So I lifted up my head so that I could breathe. And at that point, the log whacked over the back of my head. And I could still hear that sound, that cracking sound as it hit my head. Roberta and Peggy came out of the sand dunes and pulled me toward the water because the log that had gone over me was coming back to land on me. And that's how people die. As I was laying on the beach, I began to fade out. And I thought, I'm dying. And it was a strange feeling. I was so terrified of dying in those days. My God was a very judging God. And I, in my mind, was a really bad person. I had a rotten attitude about myself, and I felt like I was rotten. I was dying, but I felt so peaceful. Felt just serenely held and protected and safe and not worried. You know, I'm such a worrywart. I wasn't worried. I was okay. My only sadness was, I'm so sorry, I can't tell everybody. I want them to know it's okay.
The sisters had been struck by a rogue wave. They can also be called a sneaker wave or a freak wave. These waves were an urban legend until they were first recorded by scientists in 1984. They come with no warning and are extremely dangerous even to boats as big as freight liners. That entire week, the sisters were the only ones on the campground, until the night before when they noticed some other campers had arrived. It was these people who brought them blankets after the accident and prayed with them until the ambulance arrived. Later on, the paramedics told them people do not survive accidents like this.
It's hard to describe the feeling of it. It was almost out of body. You go through it and you do what you need to do. And then afterward, fell apart. I remember sobbing that night to see our friends hurt so seriously. And there was some, I think, guilt of not being hurt, that we weren't hurt. After the ambulance had taken them off the beach and they went to the hospital, Peggy and I went back to the trailer and we changed our clothes because we were wet from everything. And then we had a drink of scotch. As Rosemary said, what? You didn't come immediately? We said, no, we had to kind of gather our wits about ourselves. And it worked. Scotch worked.
The women suffered two broken legs, one cracked pelvis, one smashed ankle, an eye injury, and a very large hematoma. When the log hit the back of Rosemary's head, it shattered her skull and caused serious nerve damage and facial paralysis. She couldn't close her eyes or her mouth. To this day, she struggles with eating and talking. During their recovery, Roberta continued to work as a schoolteacher, but she would make the hour-long drive from Seattle to Olympia every day to be with her friends.
I think during the dark nights in the hospital, the emotions were definitely ones of depression, of anxiety. I don't remember crying. My eyes were so dry, I probably couldn't cry. Because that was another thing when your eyes are open all the time. But I just remember the fear. And then just the music would be so calming. That song, Be Not Afraid.
Be not afraid.
I go before you always.
I go before you always.
Come follow me and I will give you rest.
And I will give you rest.
That could really calm me. My family can't understand this, but I had a terrible, terrible self-concept. And then add the guilt. So when I had that moment at the beach, it was a very profound, changing moment for me. That I can be loved. In the hospital at St. Peter's, I felt the first few days that I was reaching, trying to reach that God. And finally, I remember thinking, I don't need to reach out for God. God is right here with me. And that was like revolutionary for me. It was like a total pivot of who I was. Because suddenly, no matter how good or bad or whatever I was or thought I was, God was there. And God being there was bigger than anything about me. That really changed my whole, yeah, not just that moment, but my whole future about who I chose to, how I chose to live, and what I chose to believe.
I think I always had a strong sense that God was present with us during that whole experience. And that's pretty much how it's been for me all my life, is a real sense of God's presence in whatever I'm doing, wherever I am.
So my face has been a huge challenge for years, but what we didn't know then that we learned later is that nerves do continue to regenerate. The doctor had told me at one point that I would only get back what I got back in a year. But I've continued. I still think to this day to heal. And that's why that word healing is a precious, holy word to me. I don't know why we were all there that day. And I don't know why all that happened. But I know that many, many miracles have come from that. Many. Even 40 years later.